Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Prabhupada, 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 Daya, Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Prabhupada.
Nitai Gaura Premanande. Jayam Vishwanatha Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Sutra Satta Sri Simadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Iskan Samstapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantara Srimad Bhavatam Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Well, let me introduce myself. I forgot that. I'm Etasha Krishna. I'm a temple resident. I'm from Argentina. And excuse me if my English is not so perfect or well. I'm trying to learn a little bit. And well, we are like 20 or 15 temple residents here. So every day, in different days, we have different speakers, but today you have me, or you. So, and we are going to read one or a few verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and after that we have some explanation of these verses. In order to understand some principles to apply in our lives. And finally, you have one part of the class to make questions and commentaries and whatever you want to speak. All right? Okay? So let's start with Srimad Bhagavatam. We have this great scripture. We have like 12 cantos, like 12 parts, but this is the fifth canto. And in particular, in this canto, it is the title of this canto is called the Impetu. Material. Well, we have different chapters, and it's explained how the cosmic manifestation and the universe is or was made. And of course we have different analysis in this matter, but we are finishing this fifth canto and we are in one specific part, very special part. As we know, in different traditions we have some descriptions in different traditions about the thing that we know as hell. Do you know this world? This word, hell? Yes. So we have different explanations about this in the Bible and in other scriptures also, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. We have descriptions about hell. But in this case, we have a very detailed description of the hell. So I was surprised because I come from the Catholic Apostolic Romanic tradition. And my family is Catholic, no? So I was learning about that. I born with that tradition. But after some time, well, I start to practice Krishna consciousness. So I was wondering, okay, in the Bible we have a description of the hellish of the hell, some kind of description, you know, like there is an eternal fire and different things. And in Srimad Bhagavatam we have also descriptions, so I was surprised. And we can read a little bit of this, but in special, one text today is text number 36. Someone can help me to read this, the translation and the purport? Daita Brahu? Yes. So before start the class, we also chant the mantra in order to offer obeisances and respects to our masters, and in order to understand this knowledge. No? So we can chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 36. One who in this world or this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks, I am so rich, who can equal me? His vision is twisted, and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamaraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacture cloth.
And the purport also.
Purport. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. According to the Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only for performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions. A Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. If a Sudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly without discrimination or simply accumulate it for no purpose. Because in this age there are no qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, almost everyone is a Shudra, Kalao Shudra Sambhavaha. Therefore, the Sudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A Sudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Yogya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, quote, I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner of all the planets, end quote. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false possessions, and therefore he will be punished in the next life as described herein.
Srila Prabhupada aquí. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Nina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakal Pataruyascha Kripa Sindhuya Vacha Patitanam Pavanevi Vaishnavivya Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sayyoda Vattarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's important to know that these descriptions, of course, is like a strong description. So it's important to know that these descriptions that we find here are meant to encourage us to practice the Dharma, which means live our lives according to the laws of God. So it's like when you speak with a child, you speak with a child, and you say, okay, if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. No? So the child understands, and because he is afraid, he rectified his attitude in some way or another way. But of course, this explanation about hellish planets is not for all people, because the intelligent person doesn't need to be afraid of this. I mean, doesn't need to be afraid to rectify his attitude in life and etc. So the intelligent person learn in another way. We don't need to be punished to learn some things, no? But these descriptions are meant for the people who is not so intelligent, that they need to be to have this kind of afraid in order to rectify his attitude. So we must understand the principle, the main principle here. Money. Who use money every day? Raise your hand. Who likes money? Well, okay. But money is necessary. Sometimes it's not so attractive, but we need money to live in this world. This word money is explained here as Lakshmi also. Lakshmi is the consort, is the word of Lord Krishna, of God. So we need to understand this principle of money very, very well. Why? It is explained here in the first sentence that money, if you have money, produce some kind of proud in us, which is true. And we have practical experience of this, don't you think? Isn't it? If we have a lot of money, or if we talk with people with a lot of money, in general, no, there is an exception, but in general, people with money feel like proud because they can do whatever they want. And etc. etc. There is a nice example given by Bhaktivushan Swami Maharaj. He's very well known in South America. And he said, which is the difference between a dog in a house and a dog in the street? Stray dog is meant, no? Like dog in the street, and a domestic dog. Which is the difference? Can you tell me which is the difference between these two dogs, kind of dogs? As a master, okay. And anything else? Okay, here we go with the explanation. The domestic dog and the dog on the street. When you find a dog in the street, you find a totally different dog, with the ears down, all right, with the tail between the the I don't know, the legs, no? Like very, very humble dog. No, when you want to touch, hey, and he feels afraid, no? He's very, very humble, or he's afraid, no? Because he learned that in the street is very hard. People kick you and different things. And you have hungry, thirsty, and different things. So, but in the home, the dog with in the home, he feels very secure of his position. And when you try to touch that kind of dog, this is the answer of the dog. Now automatically, now it's like a defending. No, this is my position. This is my house. This is my owner. This is my food. So I'm trying to protect this. No, the dog. No. So it's in the same case with this example. No, person who has wealth. In general, they have the necessity to defend this wealth. And for that reason, we find that the modern civilization, as Prabhupada explained here, is in trouble in general. I don't know if you remember, maybe, this is like a very gross example, but maybe help us to understand this topic. The Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. Did you hear the song? Money. Yes? Did you hear this song? Okay. Get Away, something like that. No? And different things. So this song, I remember because when I was young, well, I'm young now, but when I was more younger, I play guitar and I try to play like Dave Gilmour, who is the guitar player of Pink Floyd or something like that. So I was impressed for this song because it talks about the money in the negative way, you know, how money is ruining people's life in general, and the world in general. I mean, if you never hear the song, I don't recommend that you hear the song, but if you hear the song any time, okay. But the thing is that we can understand that money is not the problem, finally. Money is not the problem. Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj, who is another Prabhupada disciple, explained in The Spiritual Warrior, it's a beautiful book. For example, sexual power, I mean, this, the sexual power is not bad also. It's not that this is good, this is bad. It's an energy. For example, sexual potency is an energy that allows us to have descendants, no? Sons, and different. It's very powerful energy. But it depends on us if we use this powerful energy with responsibility or not. Don't you think that? We can use this energy, or we can spread this energy. But this energy is neutral, in the middle range. It's not good or bad, it's energy. In the same way with money. Money is another kind of energy. And it depends on us if we use this energy in a proper way, in a constructive way, in a profitable way, or for others, or if we use this energy in order to ruin not only our lives, but the lives of others. So here is a very, very main principle that we can extract. This is Sri Upanishad. This is another scripture that we have. Sri Upanishad. Let me read one fragment of this Sri Upanishad. It's a very beautiful fragment. This is mantra number one, the text number one. And says, everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. And in the final part of this commentary of this verse, we have this main idea, this main principle that Prabhupada explained us. The root of sin is deliberate disobedience to the laws of nature through disregarding the proprietorship of the Lord. Disobedience the laws of nature or the order of the Lord brings ruin to the human being. Conversely, one who is sober, who knows the laws of nature, and who is not influenced by unnecessary attachment or aversion, is sure to be recognized by the Lord and thus become eligible to go back to Godhead, back to the eternal home. No? So, we find here that the problem is not the money, finally. The problem is not the object, it's the subject, it's the person, it's the attitude, finally, that we put in that energy, no? If we use in this way or in another way. So there is an explanation in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, Dharmasya hi apavagyasya, which means that all the activities or occupational activities that we may, are meant for liberation. What is the meaning of this? Human life, according to the Vedic scriptures, is a very difficult body to obtain. It's very difficult to obtain this kind of human life. We can live in different kind of bodies according to the laws of reincarnation. But this human life is meant to be used in order to progress in a spiritual life, and not only in order to satisfy our basic necessities. Do you understand until here? So far, so good? Yes? Okay. So, in this case, there is an example. The human life is so difficult to obtain that it's like an ocean. You have an ocean, and you have like a ring in an ocean. No? So, in the ocean, you have the turtle. No? You have this famous animal. And the turtle is very particular, that the turtle, how do you say this? Stick his head out, exactly. But the frequency that she make this is very long frequency, like years. So, can you imagine this? The turtle, no, doing this, like this action, and in the right moment, passing his head through this ring. No, it's a very, practically, there is no probability to get that situation. So, that is an example that's how difficult it is to get this human form of life. So, in this case, this explanation is to let us understand that we must to take advantage of this human form of life in order to achieve one more transcendental goal, not only for it or defending us or make money or something like that. I mean, we can use that things, but in a secondary stage. It's not the main stage. It's a secondary. Do you understand these examples and this principle that we can extract from here? Have you ever experienced this? No? Have you ever had some kind of thoughts about this? Money and how we can use this wealth, not only money, but opulence in general. Because here is the example of money, but we can say intelligence. So we can have like big brains, no? And we can use that intelligence in a proper way, or in the way that we are going to ruin the other people's lives. Yes, you have a question or a comment?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. I was just going to say that, like, recently we heard about this big air flight disaster. And, you know, not all the world's navies, not all the world's air forces could find the plane until actually just this morning, about an hour ago, it was announced on CBS News that they have found some portion of wreckage, maybe, and Australian Air Force. But, you know, in such a modern, technologically advanced society with satellite and this and radar and sonar and all these things, not until Lord Krishna wanted it to be revealed that some wreckage has been found. So everything, anything happens only in the right time, in its time. So that's all I would like to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks for the comment. Well, I mean, this is not the final thing, okay? I know that I have to use all my opulences, like intelligence, wealth, or whatever we have, in order to make good things for people. This is not the final goal. The final goal, as is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is to achieve the absolute truth, or we can say in more simple words, reestablish our relationship with God. Reestablish our relationship with Krishna in some way or another. So for that reason, if we start to practice some kind of spiritual process in order to achieve this ultimate goal, we can chant Hare Krishna, we can chant another kind of name of God or something. If we start to reestablish our relationship with Krishna, then all this purposes are going to be fulfilled, finally. There is an example that you can count money as a ordinary people in general, no? Count money, how much money I have. And after that, you start to think, okay, I have this amount of money. You write the amount, and you start to think, how can I use this money? And you start to think, okay, but maybe I have to take care of this money because someone can take the money or steal my money. But in the case of a spiritual practitioner, we can say the devotee of Krishna, for example, we don't count only money. We are more focused in count, for example, our prayers. No? We have the japa. We can show the japa for the people. We have japa. No? We have 108 beads. And we chant for each bead, we chant the holy names of the Lord. So we are more interesting in count the how many names of the Lord we chant that only count money. Because we know that if we count how many names of God we chant, we are obtaining more, we are enrichment our lives finally. But not only our material lives, we are enrichment our heart, our spiritual life. Do you understand this? So we are not only interested in count money, we count this. And we reestablish our relationship with Krishna through this chant, through this Maha Mantra. And when we finally reestablish our relationship with Krishna, because Krishna is known as Bhagavan, Bhagavan means one who possesses all the opulences, strength, beauty, intelligence, renown, wealth, or richness, or something like that. So if we reestablish our relationship with Krishna, all these opulences are available to us. But better than that is finally obtain Krishna Prema, which means pure love for God. So we can finish here the class, and we are very interesting in know, or I'm very interested in know your comments or your questions, or if you have any experience of this, or any thoughts of this topic, which is very, very practical topic, no? All we have the experience of this, right? Isn't it? Because we live with these things every day. We have a microphone, if you need. Yes, Acharya?
Thank you. Can you talk a little bit more about the proper utilization of wealth?
Proper?
You meant proper utilization of wealth. You mentioned that it should be used in a spiritual way. But what's the best use? And then what are uses that they may not be proper?
Okay. The first principle that we must understand is that because we have sense, we need to satisfy the senses. But we can satisfy the senses we can satisfy our senses in a balanced way or in an unbalanced way. Unbalanced ways, away, means that if we do in that way, we are going to cause suffering to others and even suffering to ourselves. But if we satisfy our senses in a balanced way, this is we have benefit for everybody, not only for us, for everybody. I want to explain this in a more practical way, and in the context of Krishna consciousness, we can say, for example, that everything that we eat, before to eat this food, we offer first this food to Krishna. It's not only a relationship of receive things. With God, we can have a relationship like a child, not like a very little child, or we can have a relationship like more mature relationship with God. In an immature relationship, we are like childs, no? Like kids. When you give something to one child, the kid never said thanks, because this is a tendency, only receive, no? Okay, I need this, give me this, I want this, no? Mommy, please, I want this. And when the mom gave that, then the kid, okay, No, but I want another thing now. He is not consciousness. He doesn't have consciousness of, okay, my mother is doing a big effort to maintain me and everything. But after some time, when this kid is growing up, and he is in the adulthood, we can say, he starts to understand, okay, I have to do something for my mother, no, because she gave me everything. So it's not only thanks, mom. The next word that he learned is, okay, mom, what can I do for you? No. In the same way with God. We receive everything from God. We say thanks all day, for example, in our tables. But we never said, okay, God, what can I do for you? What kind of things please you? So if we start to think in this way, we are, believe me, this is a mature stage of relationship with God. Another stage. Okay, God, what can I do for you? And God is known as Atmaram. He doesn't need anything because he's God. So what is the main purpose of this? He is Atmaram. He doesn't need anything. He is the proprietor of all the planets, of all the money, of all the demigods, of all the earth and the universe. He doesn't need anything. But here is the other thing. Love is the worth. No, he doesn't need anything about from us. But as a mother, for example, when a child make a draw, and he gave this as a gift to the mother said, "Oh, beautiful, beautiful! I love this." But maybe the draw is a disaster. No, he is not a Picasso or something like that. But the mother said, "Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you," or something like that. So this is the thing. We don't have anything to offer Krishna except our love. So in that way, we offer things to Krishna in order to satisfy him. And satisfying Krishna, we satisfy the rest of the society, the world. When you water a plant, you don't water the plant from the leaves, you water the plant in the root. So when we are offering things to Krishna, when we are doing things for Krishna, with Krishna, or different things, we are water the root. And this water is then distribute in all the for everybody. Do you understand? So in this way we can use everything and our money and our wealth and our health. For example, in this case we are like monks. We are giving our lives in this way. We are giving our youth, our strength. We are giving everything as the brahmacharis, for example. We are giving everything in this temple, and in order to satisfy Krishna and finally to make some benefit for the people in general, not only satisfy our senses or live my life and I don't care the rest of the people. No, we're trying to do something for people in general also. So this is the way in which we can use our opulences in order to satisfy Krishna and also the people in general. Do you want a practical example? For example, we are doing Krishna lunch. Downstairs now, there are some devotees cooking every day, except weekends. No, like from Monday to Friday, and they go out with this food and they feed people. But not only with regular food. This is spiritualized food. Because before we offer this food to Krishna, it's not only regular food, it's spiritualized food that spiritualizes the people's life in general. So this is a practical example how we can we use our resources. No? It's okay? Okay. Any other comment or question? How do you feel? Do you want to share something about how this is your first experience here in the Hare Krishna temple? Yes? How do you feel? Or fine? You're thinking? Yes? Taking notes? What kind of studies you are doing? All of you are studying the same career? No? Different careers? Okay.
Yeah, it's close. It's Christian ministries. So we study to prepare ourselves for any type of ministry, whether pastoral, youth, any number of things.
Mm-hmm.
Missions across the world, all kinds of stuff. So we're in that same category, but you know, it's divided into different positions. So yeah. Oh, some are Bib studies. Which Bib studies? Some of us are also. Some of us are preparing for ministry, and some are preparing just to study the scriptures and to teach them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Great. It's a great activity. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So well, thank you very much for coming. We are very happy to have you here, and we hope visit in the future. Well, you are welcome to visit us again. And we can finish our lecture here. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaura Premanandi.